Okay, this is the second shir on Drasha Saran. We're in the second Drasha, up to the word V'amnam B'mashiyavar Od Mehazman. We had been talking about Yaakov's relationship with Esav, how they're interconnected, and when Yaakov goes up, Esav goes down. So, V'amnam, if you have the fancy Mosadar of Cook versions, we're on page Samach Aleph. V'amnam B'mashiyavar Od Mehazman. Regarding what will happen in the future with Yaakov and Esav over time, the Nevi'im told us that it wasn't just for a small amount of time that would be like this, but it would always be forever, our up and down relationship with Esav. That Yaakov's house would be like fire, Yosef's house would be like a flame, and Esav's house would be like straw. V'ala Moshiyim Har Tzion, and Moshiyim will come on Har Tzion, that's when Mashiach comes. K'var Bir, Shim Hayoshe, Pa'amim Rabos, Nafal Esav, Yipol, come. So, it's explained that even though it's true that Esav will fall many times, and Yaakov will fall many times, there'll be ups, downs. Amnam Liipol, Esav will not fall, Abal Yosef Kum, to never get up again, Ad Yokum Yaakov, Lo Yosef Lin Palod. Until Yaakov is up forever. In other words, as long as Yaakov can, the Jews can fall, then Esav can rise again. Once Yaakov rises for good, when Mashiach comes, Esav is done for good, is down for good. Hineim kena metzias nechlak l'shnei elah ha'iladim. If so, metzias, as in our existence in this world, is split amongst, the whole world is split amongst these two nations. To Omei Tzviya, that are twins, L'reshes oso kalechad b'itim shonim, that these two nations would have rulership over the world in different times. B'sibas ha'kesher ha'chazak asher b'neim, because there's such a strong connection between Yaakov and Esav, Nikru shneihem toldos Yitzchak, that's why they're both still called toldos Yitzchak. Remember, this drush is about Parshas toldos. So they're both called, both Yaakov and Esav, both called the toldos of Yitzchak, the kids of Yitzchak. That's why the parsha starts off, these are the generations of Yitzchak. V'gomer in Yano, what it means to tell you is ki elu ashnayim Yaakov Esav and his karma parsha heim toldos Yitzchak. Both Yaakov and Esav will always count as the children of Yitzchak. Ki em hayos Esav Rasha, because even though Esav was a Rasha, the toldos of Yechashiv is still considered one of the children of Yitzchak. Aval ba'Avram, but by Avram ain't okay, and that's not true with Avram. Kilo Yirash ben Ha'ama, Velo Yinchal covered the Kuri told us Avram ki Yitzchak. But Yishmael did not get that covered, that honor. Yishmael is not considered part of Avram. Velazeh Hosev, and that's why the next words are Avram Holo de Yitzchak, right? It's always very strange. Everyone wonders that every time you learn Parshas told us, it says Zela told us Yitzchak, Avram Holo de Yitzchak. These are the children of Yitzchak, Avram gave birth to Yitzchak. It's always very strange. You're trying to tell me these are kids of the Yitzchak, you're expecting them to tell you, okay, so who are the kids of Yitzchak? And instead it tells you who gave birth to Yitzchak. So the Rana is explaining that Yaakov and Esav, rather, were considered the children of Yitzchak, but in regards to Yitzchak himself, only Yitzchak is considered the children of Avram. In other words, it's to tell you the level of Yaakov and Esav, that they're both considered the children of Yitzchak, as opposed to Avram, who had two children, but was only considered to have one. V'asibah b'zeh, the reason is, ki Yitzchak v'Yishmael lo hushvoy tel Avram lo avam. Yitzchak and Yishmael were not equally beloved by their father. Aval sam Yitzchak tzvi edyo. Avram made Yitzchak the apple of his eyes. Ve'lev hinchel kavod oshro, and to him he gave all his money and wealth. But to the people who came from Hagar, the kids that came from Hagar, he told them to get lost, gave them gifts, and sent them away. And after that, they never had anything to do with Yitzchak, they were gone. You should forget about them, they're not fitting to remember. That is not the case with Yaakov and Esav, it's very interesting. At Kimat Esav Hayabachiru Atzanafsho. Almost, Yitzchak really wanted Esav to be, as we know, he tried to, this past week's parasha, he wanted, in Vayetze, he told us, he tried to have Esav be the one who would get the Bechorah. V'chishneim hayu b'nei gvira kvoda. So the Yitzchak really may have liked Esav a little bit better. He almost made him his bechor. And also, they were both the sons of Rivka, not the sons of a Pilagish. Midubakim ishbachihu mileda mibetin meharayon. They were connected from birth in the womb. Neksharim b'hadragas memshala, also connected, like he's explained till now, in rulership of the world. Kimat kol yimos olam al derech sharmarti. For almost all existence, there's this up-down relationship with Yaakov and Esav that they, one of them is ruling. Therefore, you can't get rid of his name, even though he's a Rasha. Kivo Yoshev Yapach Yado Kalayom. As he'll always come back. And that's why it says both these kids are considered Toldos Yitzchak. Okay. The Siper, you know, it's interesting, by the way, he mentions that almost all the days of the existence of this world, we have that relationship of Yaakov and Esav. He probably doesn't mean anything by that. But just as an aside, we know we're in, there are four Galiuses, four exiles. There's the Babylonian exile, there's the Parasimadai, there's the Greek exile, and then there's the one we're in now, which is Edom. And Rav Chaim Vital famously says that at the very end of days, there's going to be a little Golos Yishmael. I doubt that's what he's referring to, but he says almost all the times of history, he's probably just referring to, because at the end, it'll be just be Yaakov. Anyway, I'm just mentioning that. Okay, V'siper Ichba in Yanam. So now we've introduced the Parsha that these are the children of Yitzchak, that both Yaakov and Esav are considered forever the children of Yitzchak. And now it explains their story. Morama shenimshach me'acharisam. It hints at what will come after them. V'amarishona. So it says originally, ki lo harasa imam mehem al minagatevi. So first of all, you have to know from the very beginning, everything is with them from the very beginning. From the very beginning, she didn't have a normal pregnancy. Why? Ki akarahi. She was not supposed to have kids at all. She was actually a woman who, by natural means, could not have had kids. It's only because of a miracle, basically, that Yitzchak davened to Hashem very strongly, and Hashem healed her and made her that she could have kids. But I guess the Rambam is saying, as an aside, or maybe his point, this should be a little strange. Rivka did not happen to be, just by coincidence, become Yitzchak's wife. Rivka, who was an Akara, who couldn't have kids, is the one that Hashem set aside for Yitzchak. This was always supposed to be Yitzchak's wife. Rivka was always supposed to be Yitzchak's wife. Kasher Hora Inyan Eliezer, like we know from the story of Eliezer, who did that whole test. He told Hashem, if you make whoever comes out first, she's the one for Yitzchak, and she came out, did exactly what he said. The whole thing was a clear sign from God that it was supposed to be that Rivka was his wife. Veich nafal legarol Yitzchak akedo isha akara. How could it be that the one who is destined for Yitzchak would be a woman who couldn't have kids? The whole Jewish nation is supposed to come from this pair, Yitzchak and Rivka. The whole future of existence of mankind, of Mashiach, and all that, the tikkun, the fixing of the world. How could it be that he would, the one woman who is destined for him should be an akara? So the only way to understand this is because of what Chazal say in Perek HaBalei Yevim. The reason is because Hashem desires the tefillah of tzaddikim. Why? Because through their tefillah they become even closer to Hashem. Because the soul becomes connected with its creator when it does a lot of tefillah. Mashalo yaleim. Can't say exactly know what he means by mashalo yaleim. I think it just means this is obvious. Either way, that's the reason he was married to, chosen to have a wife who was couldn't have kids, so he would daven a lot. Okay. Just as an aside again, usually we don't rely on signs. There's an Isser Daraisa to make a sign. The whole story with Eliezer making a sign so that he would know who Yitzchak should marry is a dispute among the Rishonim. How do we understand that? Because normally making decisions based on signs is usually an Issur D'oraisa of Lo Sinachashu. One of the explanations given, which would fit well with the way the Ran explains this, one of the explanations given is Eliezer didn't really need a sign, since all this, the whole future of Klal Yisrael was dependent on this. He knew whatever he chose was going to be the right one. So he wasn't really relying on this sign. It was just a way of making some sort of test, but not something he was relying on, because he knew whoever he chose was going to be the right one. He didn't really need a test. Because the Ran says something strange. He says, this marriage was not coincidence, as if there is a marriage that is coincidence. So there are different opinions about that. The marriage of someone where the whole Klal Yisrael is dependent upon is clearly not going to be left to coincidence. Whether there is such a thing as something like coincidence, that again also is a dispute amongst the Rishonim. And the Ramban, famously in Parshas Vayera, I believe it is, and the Pasuk Ki Yedativ, says that super tzaddikim get super hashgacha pratis, and not such big people, regular people, don't get as much direct divine intervention in their lives. So, at the very least, Yitzchak and Rivka would have had super divine intervention, and therefore, how could it be that he would be married to an Akara? And that's what the Ran answers, because Hashem wanted their tefillah. But however, that which it says that Yitzchak davened lanochach ishto, opposite his wife, that Rivka was also davening. Yitzchak and Rivka both davened that they should have a kid, and Hashem listened to Yitzchak's tefillahs and not Rivka's tefillahs. Lafiza hayoroi shiomar, and according to that, should have said vayatiru Yitzchak Rivka. The pasuk should have said Yitzchak and Rivka davened, not just that Yitzchak davened. Aval ulai, but perhaps lamash hizkir kinet or lo v'lo la, the fact that it says that Hashem listened to him and not to her, saw some philosophy of lo hizkir b'feirish. Maybe the reason the Torah didn't want to tell you explicitly that Rivka davened is because Hashem didn't listen to Rivka's tefillahs, Hashem listened to Yitzchak's tefillahs, so it didn't say it explicitly that Rivka davened, aval ramza ba'omro lenochach ishto, just hinted at it by saying he davened opposite his wife. V'zeh amnam derech drash, but this is all drush. Aval derech apshat, papash apshat, echshav bo'inyin, I think what it means is, v'hu, ki ha-mishtane, v'im yishtane b'derech pela, when Hashem makes an ace to change something, yuchan rishona ledavar, asher yishtane ilav, he makes the person turn into the thing that he wants to turn it into. I'll explain that in a second. Lo shiatek ala inin hazaretz lo b'teva, v'hodenu al inyono harishon. Not that the strange thing will happen to him and he's like the way he was. What he means to say is, well, he's going to say it, but it's not that Hashem made an ace to Rivka, that she was a woman who couldn't have children, and Hashem made an ace to put a lady who couldn't have children to have children, and then after that ace happened, she was like she always was, couldn't have children. Hashem makes nisim that he made it, that he changed her into a lady who could have children. Not that she was just a temporary nace, and her body was what it always was, and just somehow she had kids anyway. No, the nace was that Hashem changed her body into a lady who could have kids. Kilu tamar ki Rivka den almizga. We don't say that Rivka remained the way she was, almizga rishon, the way she was originally. Alar kavas ibera kelim hamechayvim akros kibla hirayin veyolda. And we're not saying that Rivka remained her with a body that couldn't have kids, and somehow she had kids anyway, and she was always barren. In any case, that's not the way Hashem did it. Aval tefilas Yitzchak, heichan Hashem yisbarach mizga, v'tzalchar kavas elihiroyin. Because Yitzchak davened, so Hashem made an ace to turn Rivka into, to turn her body into a body that could have kids. V'chol zeh amnam b'emtzos mashbim, hidrik Hashem yisbarach b'ineinu v'eino. Hashem does these nisim through some type of someone in between, like in this case Yitzchak, who davened for her. It was done through a mashpia, through someone giving over this. Kimin hanira asher behishtanos hatachtonim yischayev shehishtana davar ma'abel yonim. Because if you look, it appears that any time someone needs to make a change down here in Olam Hazeh, you have to make some change in Shemayim first. V'lazeh am rabbeseinu ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu nifra me'uma ad shenifra me'eloheh hatchila. Chazal say that Hashem doesn't isn't pareya, doesn't destroy a nation until it's first pareya from its gods. It's siren shamayim, usually. V'eskimu zeh lekama psukim, and there's many psukim like this, mechlolam yifkor Hashem al tzva ha-marom b'marom v'al-malchi adama ba-adama, that first Hashem deals with the sky and then the earth. V'amru b'cholol he-mitzrayim es teshvatim, with all the gods of Mitzrayim I'll make judgments. V'zeh yireh matmiyem, oh, this looks very strange, asher b'charusa po'al ra'eh ha-shvalim,
Val ha'elyonim enigashem elav yifko. And Hashem gets angry on the people on planet Earth who do bad, and he takes out his anger on the people, on the beings upstairs, the malachim or the sarim of that nation upstairs. How could that be? V'amnam im ha'iyun atov. But if you think about it, im tzemachoyiv, it makes sense that it has to be that way. V'hu, and the reason is ki ha'efshari, because something that's possible. Bibchinas ibosav yoshev mechuyev. If you change the situation, it will become something that has to happen. Kilo terma, like if you'll say, Shirida tamata biyomachar davar afshari. Like you say, tomorrow, it's possible it'll rain. Avalim natsia ki huchnas ibosav. But if we set it up that the reasons for rain are present, kilo terma ke edim halachim kvar olu, that there's thick, dark clouds in the sky, ha'avir haim tzoib to betchuna meshivo samayim, and just the temperature in the air, whatever, the humidity in the air, and the clouds make it that it's going to rain. So yeshav zehav shari mechuyev, then that something that's possible is now something not possible, it's going to happen. Vein manos im kein labal yeh matar nita charta al tzad apela el b'shnos adavar mechayev. Then it would only be an ace for it not to rain. It would have to be some kind of ace to make the clouds miraculously disappear. But if all the things that should make it rain are there, it's going to happen outside of a miracle. Om yasher le mechayev hahu od mechayev ein manos leishtanim tzay helyun b'tzad ma. And since everything that happens because something else happened upon it, the clouds went up because the thing evaporated. Everything is in a cycle. Something causes something else. If you want to get to the first cause of what causes things, you have to start going up to stuff in Shamayim. So therefore, the Sar of Shamayim that's in charge of whatever it's in charge of is the thing that makes the thing happen, so that has to change. Because everything in this world is connected. So if you want to change something, you have to go that high up, change the way nature works. You have to go up to Shemayim. And for this, our Chazal say, that Hashem doesn't take vengeance on a nation until it does it to their God. Because typically, the idols that they worship are the ones that give them their shefa, their what they get from Shemayim, the sar of that nation. That's usually one, the koach that they worship. If the things in Shemayim that give strength to Mitzrayim to succeed, if they don't get changed, it's also not going. It's also going to stay strong. The only way to knock Mitzrayim down then is to knock its sar down, because that's one causes the other. The kasher yitukin gamkein inyan eza nivra, and to fix something, therefore something created, yitzterach shefa shafei love misakin inyano b'emtzos lo nishario. So it also needs some kind of shefa, some kind of something coming down to it from some other source to fix it. Aval ki avo hatikin mitzad eza matir, but when it happens through someone davening for you, nirish yia hamatir emtzoi b'oso shefa. So the person who davened for you, he becomes that conduit that the change goes through. And through him, the change comes to the one he davened for. Okay, so the Ran, it's not like it's 100% clear. He explained why to hurt a nation, he has to go after its Sar and Shemayim. It's not that Hashem takes it out on the Sar, but just in order to punish the people on earth, he has to fix or lower the sar. I guess it's in a similar vein. It certainly doesn't seem to be like a direct comparison, but in a similar vein, when Hashem wants to fix something, he does it through an emtzai, through something in the middle, not directly on the person, but through some other type of thing that's mashpia on that person, even though the logic part doesn't fit. In other words, it's not like Yitzchak controlled Rivka. So it's just, I guess it's a similarity and a similar process that when Hashem wants to fix something, he also does it through an emtzai, through an in-between. Belazeh, and because of this, Belazeh b'achayos Eliyahu ben Haisha ha'almana hismodid al hayelet shalosh b'amim. Everyone knows the famous story of Eliyahu who brought back this almana's child back to life.
So he physically went on top of the body. And that's how the kid was able to come back alive. He didn't just sit and daven next to him. He actually went on top of him. And Elisha also.
So first he put his stick on the child, then he put his whole body directly on the child. You see, they needed some physical connection to be mashpia. Yaakov also, when he gave a bracha to Yosef's children, he said, bring them physically to me, and he put his hands on their heads. Why? This tells you that if you want to get someone who davens for you, that it should affect you more, you need him to have more connection to you, even physically. Therefore, it's proper, or that if you want to if they want the guy to be mashpi on you, to have an effect on you, he needs to be close to you, even physically.
That's why Yitzchak davened next to Rivka, so
she could have more connection to her, to be more mechavin to her, v'tasig shemipneze yisakin gufa v'yotzena mitchunas akras.
And by Yitzchak being physically close to her, he could change her body from being an akara, v'yitzlach zayoser b'yosa krova mimenu, and it'll be b'mokum, and it'll be more successful since he's physically next to her. V'zeh ha'emidu nochecha l'hakriva yilav, that's why he put her next to him, kiev sh'b'yoser mizeh odenu omid l'fnei Hashem, because that's all you can do by being when you're talking to Hashem.
Okay. So I think we will stop here for this week and continue next week.